post-apocalyptic wasteland. The last video store on Earth still spreads the lost art of cinema. But during the month of October, its employees and some special guests shine a spotlight on horror!
I bid you welcome to this year's Shocktober. I am Dave, and I am one of the undead, a vampire. I was a middle-aged man of 38 when I was turned by one of my employees, a large-headed, bespectacled predator in the night named Ryan. In the year that followed, I would spend my nights feasting on the rodents and mutated deer that roamed in the night. I thought I would go mad without ever tasting of Taco Bell again. But over time, I grew to love the warm blood of two-headed rats and Capri Sun blood packs. I eventually made some friends in the dark alleys of Bartertown. Friends who shared my particular ailment of needing to feast on human blood. They took me in and made me a member of the Poetry Slam and Fanfic Society at the local bar and grill. Our story takes place at that very establishment, Lestat's Bar and Grill, during a very special month-long promotion called Vamptober. Tonight's feature, a screening of the 2008 box office sensation, Twilight. But first, a piece of erotic Twilight fanfiction from Apocalypse Video's own, Jackie. A scintillating tale filled with lust, longing, and vampire crossovers. We proudly present Ménage à Twilight.
Edward, I gasped. Who are these men? Are they vampires? The blonde one sneered Frenchly. Well, yes, Cherie, and thank you for noticing. My name is Lestat de Lioncourt, and Louis and I have known your Edward for many years. He grinned, a terrible, beautiful, mocking grin. Why, we are practically brothers, wouldn't you say? Edward glared at the two men. The dark-haired one, Louis, glowered back. Lestat continued smiling with all his teeth, like an otherworldly, sensual shark. His eyes trained on my jugular. They weren't kidding, eh, Louis? Lestat purred. She smells divine. Don't even think about it, Edward growled, moving in front of me impossibly fast. If you touch her. Ah, mon cher, Lestat drawled, also impossibly fast. He now stood practically nose to nose with Edward. Who said it was only her I want to touch? In less than an instant, Louis was there too, and the three Adonis-like men stood with their beautiful mouths mere inches apart, growling and huffing and purring like wild animals full of primal need. My own slim body was now pulsing, my little heart pounding in my petite chest. I felt so hot all over, like magma flowed through my veins instead of my apparently delicious blood. I knew, in that moment, that they were going to triple kiss. Then, whoa, three sets of eyes flicked over to me, and the unspoken question was clear. Quadruple kiss? But before I could step forward to be claimed by those three beautiful, pouty mouths, I felt a cold, slender hand take mine. I turned and gasped. It was a woman with pale skin and dark hair like mine, and a pixie-like upturned nose like mine, and a slim body like mine. We could have been sisters, but she was so beautiful, so stunning, like an angel from my nightmare. Who are you? I whispered. My name is Celine, the woman murmured. Come with me if you want to see the underworld. But I'm not into girls, I protested weakly, my resolve crumbling. I'm not like other girls, Celine breathed. Our slender hands locked together, the triple kiss behind me. I let myself fall. We crashed together through the closed window into our future. Thank you.
Wow. Multiverse saga.
Let's give a big hand once again to Jackie. And now, our feature presentation, Twilight.
Possibly fast and strong.
You gotta give me some answers.
I'd rather hear your theories.
I have considered radioactive spiders and kryptonite.
It's all superhero stuff, right? What if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy?
I know what you are. Your skin is pale white and ice cold. You don't go out into the sunlight.
Say it out loud. Say it.
Vampire.
Are you afraid?
No. This isn't real. This kind of stuff just doesn't exist.
It does in my world. Oh, I just want to try one thing. I don't know how long I've waited for you.
What is going on?
Security guard at the mill got killed by some kind of animal.
An animal?
My family, we're different from others of our kind.
You brought a snack.
What, nobody's coming after me?
The hunt is his obsession. He's never gonna stop.
I'd rather die than to stay away from you.
He's got unparalleled senses, absolutely lethal.
I'll do whatever it takes to make you safe again.
You're faster than the others. But not stronger. I'm strong enough to kill you. You are my life now.
That was good, Jackie.
Thank you.
Yes, very, very well done.
I worked really hard on it, and I think that Celine and Bella are going to be really happy together.
Very good.
I think
good.
It was better than the movie. There were twists and turns. There was things happening.
Sensuality, yes. I tried to make it very sensual. I think the quadruple kiss would have been pretty good.
I thought I was gonna keep adding on to it from triple to quadruple.
And then Blade comes in.
Yeah, I was gonna say Falcon comes through the portal and says, "I got your on your left or whatever." You know?
Yeah.
Can I just say if I have one criticism? It's this is after having watched the film Twilight. Uh-huh. Not enough baseball. Where was the baseball in this story?
Actually, in chapter 12, they do play baseball, and the wolves come in. It really
nothing sexier than baseball.
Look, I'll.
I feel like this is like the beginning of Bride of Frankenstein. We're all chatting with Jackie, the author of the new Twilight fanfic, the multiverse saga, and you're like, well, actually, there's more to the tale.
There is, and actually, they were gonna meet a Frankenstein at one point, too. So don't give me any ideas because I'm going to file the numbers off and publish this as an original novel. So.
Wow.
I'm going to make $1 billion.
Well, until then, this is the final episode of Apocalypse Video's Vamptober Spooktacular. I'm your host and vampire, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow vamps, Jackie.
You're like my own personal brand of heroin.
I'm also joined by Ryan.
Dave, did you get contacts? I mean, you guys used to be your black.
Listen, just chillax, and then I leave the room. Poof. We're also joined by Michael.
Well, I don't really like the rain. Any cold, wet thing, I don't really.
Is that a small cactus in your hands, or are you just happy to see me?
Well, you know he's from Arizona.
It's my emotional support cactus.
And finally, we're joined by a very special guest, Kara.
No. How? I don't even know what you're saying. How? What are you talking about? You want me to go away? No, I can't just leave you.
No,
I'm sensing some negativeness on this thing. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Hey,
I'm a natural performance.
I'm ready to die for this terrible movie.
All right, so let's talk about it. Twilight, the phenomenon that was Twilight. So, who here read the books?
Had
read the books when the movie came out.
Yeah.
All right, and how excited were you for the movie?
I was the target demo. I was an eighth grade girl, so I was really, really excited. I saw it in a packed movie theater, probably opening weekend with like a big group of.
Do you think did your parents go with you or was
no?
It,
okay. It was with like a group of friends and I. Someone else's mom or
something.
Did
you at least go with somebody that was 13 years old for supervision?
We definitely had a chaperone who was over 13. I was 13, I think, when I saw this film.
This is a hard PG-13.
Oh yeah, they have a whole makeout in this one. There's also more than I recalled, a lot of like rape threats. In this story.
Did you hear what those lowlifes were thinking?
Yeah.
I saw it.
Just talk to me about anything. Talk to me about seatbelts. I'm just so pissed off.
Talk to me about ravioli.
I remember my experience with Twilight is I lived for a little while in college. I lived next to a Barnes & Noble. And one of the books came out. And I hadn't heard of Twilight. And I just remember like walking home seeing like, oh, there's like a midnight release for like a book, like Harry Potter style. And there were tons of, you know, it was like 9 p.m. or something. And there was like tons of people who are probably looking exactly like Jackie who were at the Barnes Noble, like ready for it.
Ready.
Yeah. I just remember being like, oh, wow. Okay. So this is a thing.
I'm curious, Kara, Jackie. Okay. So you're in line waiting to get the new Twilight book. What are you wearing?
I wasn't at the midnight.
Well,
release.
No. What is the well with Harry Potter? You know, people wearing like the Harry Potter outfits. Like, what would be the Twilight outfit?
If this was the Breaking Dawn midnight release, which I did again, yes. I didn't go to the midnight release parties. Breaking Dawn was the fourth and final book. It was.
I feel like I saw people dress like vampires. That
yeah,
was like the
there and there was probably a lot of Team Edward, Team Jacob.
Wearing
a Hayley Williams purple beanie.
That too.
That's what you're
probably
wearing.
A lot of merchandise more than like costume.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if we're talking for the movie, it's like I don't know, like a hoodie, a beanie.
You wear
maybe like a sweater.
Or a
I don't think it's like
jacket.
Star Wars where people are dressing up like the characters so much because there's not really like.
Oh, you maybe have like a Team Edward shirt. That's what. You
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's yeah. Team Edward, Team Jacob, or like Team Jedward. Or
they
whatever.
Also Team Triple Kiss. They also after the film came out sold a bunch of obviously stuff with the leads. Faces on it, but they also had like Cullen family merch, which is mentioned in the books, and they kind of see it in the movie where they all kind of have this like I think Edward has like a bracelet with it, and it's like a I don't know their sigil or something like that. I couldn't tell you what's on it, but I know that Alice wears it on a choker, and I knew some people who had the Alice choker, and I was really jealous because I well, I wanted to dress like her, and I thought Alice was really cool. And
smoking.
She's smoking.
who played Alice?
Some lady. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, her.
A pretty lady.
Ashley Green.
Ashley Green.
Okay, she's the one that had the poofed out hair.
Yeah, she had her little flip do. Yeah.
That's and who I thought you were describing when
I mean, you're gonna find some Alice Bella fan fiction out there.
This nose, and I'm like, it's that swoop nose. Mm-hmm. You know?
But so does Kate Beckinsale. So,
by the way, guys, I should probably say right now, I've had a vision that this is going to be a very sexy episode.
you're right about that.
but it's subjective; it could change.
Oh,
I'm trying to remember how I definitely saw the movie its opening weekend, but I'm trying to remember who
oh, really?
It was with and why, and I don't know.
How long had the books been out prior to the movie's release?
I think the first book was 2005.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. So not long. Okay. So it didn't take long for the phenomenon to take hold.
No, yeah. Like within, a few years, it was okay. Like, this is a major motion picture. And I was introduced to the books. Again, I was the target demo because a friend of mine at a sleepover was like, oh my God, you have to read this. And I like tore through the first book and was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Maybe I have this backwards. I'm sure you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. But did Twilight begin as fanfic of something else? Or was that 50 Shades?
No, you're thinking of 50 Shades.
You're thinking of 50 Shades of Grey, which began as Twilight fanfic.
As Twilight fanfiction.
Okay.
And about the adaptation of it, I did see that this basically, movie adaptation began pretty much as soon as the book came out, the first one. But it was originally with MTV Films. And that one never went anywhere, and then this eventually got made. But so early on, there was we're gonna adapt. It was gonna be adapted.
They
right
were
away.
This is going to print money. We are going to take those hit. Dollars from Tween Girls.
We should say this is a huge hit. I mean, this whole series was a hit franchise,
and I would say started a whole subgenre.
It did, and we can get into the Mormon of it eventually, but man, Zoe, is it Mormon.
Carol, were you all there, too, for the books?
I was a junior in high school, I think, when did that one come out? That book, I don't know. I think that's when, the movie came out, and so the books kind of were having, a resurgence a little bit.
Yeah, the movie was 08.
One of my friends was reading it, and then I read it, and I was into it. I think I was more into it because I wanted to feel included with the people who were into it. I did not see any of the movies in theater.
Really?
And it took me maybe a year after it came out to read Breaking Dawn.
Okay.
You were like, this is, that's what I was also, I've said this before, I was raised in a Buffy the Vampire Slayer household, so I was used to sexy vampires and everything, and the tameness of the books worked for me because I was a child, but watching it or reading, I haven't read the books in many years, but watching it now, it's just like, Jesus Christ,
So, Kara, you were more of the Lestat. You were everyone is, it's Twilight Fever, and meanwhile, you're Lestat, I don't understand these newfangled vampires. I need a familiar to integrate me into the new styles.
Speaking of Lestat, is it fair to say that this is sort of a young adult Mormon version of the Anne Rice vibe?
Yeah, it's like if a Mormon girl heard about, the vampire Lestat or Interview with a Vampire and was like, okay, but what if it's not gay? It's not gay.
This is like the family video version of Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
the sanitized version.
Yeah.
Although it does, you said
it's
like...
similar, though.
What you said, Dave, earlier, is this fanfic? And... that there is something about this that does have...
it does feel like fanfic.
Yeah, and specifically what it is there's...
Well, I can give you the exact line, the fanfic line. Do you want to hear it?
Please.
Imagine Bella looking out the window down to Edward, who's staring up at her.
I was unconditionally and irrevocably in love with him.
That is a fanfic underlined line.
What it is, what the thing is that makes it fanfic to me, or fanficky, is how every all the lore and the rules or everything, it's all actually it's super cool. Actually the sun doesn't hurt us. I sparkle and look super cool. Actually, I don't have to sleep in a coffin. I just get to stay up all the time, and I don't even have
actually,
to sleep.
I could be in the sun. I just get real sparkly and cool and even better looking.
And right. Actually, and like, everyone actually, is in
to,
love
I
with me.
I moved from Phoenix to Washington, and actually, everybody loves me here. And I'm like the...
yes! They all instantly love her.
Everyone wants... Really- Everyone wants to fuck
like,
Bella.
I feel overwhelmed for her and that whole thing because everyone's just like, ah, here, be yeah. my friend.
It's something that I probably found annoying as a teen, but now watching it, I am kind of charmed at how like annoying well, and cringe all the teenagers are.
You just described how I feel about the movie. I like it's annoying and dumb, but I am also
but
charmed.
I'm charmed, but of like every time that the background teens who Bella like doesn't care about are just like being stupid. I'm like, good for them. You know what? We're having fun.
I love the normies, like the non-vampire, non-werewolf people in this movie. They're so funny.
They're
like
having a
the
good
one
time.
Scene where like he's asking her out and getting ignored. And oh, it's just like you don't realize you're like an NPC in this. You're not a protagonist in this movie.
You're not a person to me, dude.
No, I wanted to ask you, you know, it's like a month away, but, do you want to, go to prom? So what do you think?
About what?
Do you want to go? To prom? With me?
prom.
It is actually a good shot because you see him out of focus in the foreground.
I know.
I think his name is Mike in the movie. And then yes. you see Edward in the background glistening and pale.
Just looking at her all cool and smoldering.
He's just some guy who's like, yeah, so I was thinking like maybe, and she's just like, huh? What?
And she's even like,
I guess I'll just have to settle for Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, she is basically like, ew, maybe you should go ask out the other human.
Yeah,
Anna.
I'm not for you.
It is.
I forgot Anna Kendrick was in this movie. She just shows up like, and I'm here too. I'm like,
she's
oh,
like,
wow.
Hi. Hi.
Do you want to be my best friend?
I kind of hate you, but I kind of don't. And I do want to fuck you just like everyone else does.
Anyway, you're not paying attention. How do my boobs look in this prom dress?
And the answer is
great.
Good. They look
great.
Good. Yeah. They look great. Good for you. Good for you, girl.
I had a fun time watching this movie.
I did too. We were hooting and hollering.
It was pretty funny. Like, I enjoy the things they do. So, spoiler alert.
Have you never seen it before, Dave?
No, I've seen this before. Okay. I think the first time I saw this, it was with a Riff Trax.
It's very easy.
I watched Breaking Dawn with a Riff Trax.
Oh, God. Breaking Dawn. Oh, sorry to sidetrack, but Breaking Dawn Part 2, I saw in theaters. And yes, they split it into two parts because that was the style at the time. But I saw that one in theaters after not having seen them in theaters since the first one. And I was like with my friends on a winter break or whatever. And we were all so stoked. Owned, and that movie is so funny. It's so bad. It's so funny. And we were, hooting and hollering in
the
theater.
I almost want to watch the other ones, if only for one reason. And that reason's name is Michael Sheen.
Oh, yeah. He comes in, and he is hamming it up. It's great.
Yes. So, Ryan, are you aware of Michael Sheen's presence in the later movies?
I've seen them all. I'm the only person that's seen these all in theaters. And
wow.
So you're the one dressed up as Michael Sheen in the theater.
I had to figure out what the hell's going on with this.
Why did you see all these in theaters?
It was like a scientific study.
You know?
I just had to know. Did you go like by yourself with like
no,
a notepad and like a lab coat?
I think at one point I went with my mom to see one of these, I think.
Moms like, did love Twilight.
Moms love Twilight.
It was a thing.
I think I think Breaking Dawn Part 2 in theaters.
Oh, it's the best one!
Yeah, I saw that. I've seen that a couple times since, but I saw these. I'm trying to remember what the context, though, was for seeing them. I think I just went along with the crowd. You know,
yeah.
Too.
There was other...
You saw a lot of movies, yeah. Right? You're just a movie.
You just like going to movies.
And then I think I just, like, everyone was excited to go see them, and I needed to go watch them. You know?
There was, I mean, it was, if we can think back to that long ago period, but, you know, it was like so many people were genuinely into Twilight, and then so many people were like
so into dogpiling and hating on Twilight. Mm-hmm. And either way, you had a Twilight phase, like whether or not you yeah, liked exactly. it or not. Like you were, people were obsessed.
It was hard to ignore. It was hard to get away from.
You couldn't get away yeah. from it. And as so many of these things boiled down to, it was a lot of making fun of teenage girls. Because not to say there's not a lot to make fun of that in was, the Twilight series, but a lot of it was just purely like
that was a big
girls
thing
are stupid.
The,
you know,
I remember people being mad. Because I remember going to Comic-Con and people being mad at like them taking up, they'd put like the
they were in Twilight H Hall panel. Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, they'd put it like early on, you know, like Saturday morning or something, and then the line would be extra long, and everyone would bitch about that, you know, because of Twilight was going.
It's not real stuff. I want to see Iron Man.
Yeah, where's Iron Man?
It's kind of funny because Kevin Smith would put it perfectly. He's like, "Why are these dorks mad? There's women here, and they're excited about something." Like,
no, that's the worst thing on Earth.
Zack Snyder's going to show off Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
I know. Like, he was just like, go have sex with these women. They're ready to go. Like, he was just like.
These, again, cannot be stressed enough. Really horny women. Like.
So it was like, I remember that, like going.
I imagine it's a bunch of mics, and just to clarify, Mike from the movie.
Oh.
It's a bunch of mics from this movie at Comic-Con, like, so hey, do you want to go to prom with me? Like that energy.
You want to go to nerd prom with me?
But yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember. I mean, I was probably both of like, this is goofy as hell and stupid.
And
know?
I
but, like,
certainly.
Also, now I've figured out.
I had my being crazy about Twilight phase, and then I got a teeny bit older, and I was like, that's so dumb, and I hate Bella, and actually,
now you're
like,
now you're
and
back.
It's just like, calm down, girl, just calm down.
I how could you be mad at these movies when you assume, I feel like if you watch
so
this and you
silly.
See the moment when Bella gets on Edward's back and they run and suddenly
hang on
becomes
tight,
a Benny
spider
Hill
monkey.
Sketch.
My spider monkey.
When he's crawling up the tree all
yes.
fast.
How could you be mad at this series when you see something like
he's
that?
He's a little goblin laughing. Guy.
Yeah, it's weird. There's like this movie I feel like has a few and it seems like there must have been some issues as it's a bummer because they like fire the director basically at the
yeah.
next movies and stuff. So I'm wondering, like, there's some elements.
Well,
that
she
I
went
think...
on to direct, if I'm not mistaken, 50 Shades of Grey, which is essentially a spiritual sequel.
Well, it's like I think like the I think there's elements that like feel like they work and some that don't, kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's like stretches of the movie that I'm like, oh, this stretch feels like it's working, and then they shot like that stuff with the, you know, him through the woods, like it thinking it'd be edited differently, and it's not, kind of thing. There's like weird things going on. This
yeah,
movie.
And the
it's like patchy. I think if that makes sense.
The director of this one, Catherine Hardwicke, I think she's the one bringing the, you know, the mega blue tint and some of the like, kind of yeah, like mismatched stuff, which I think does work. And the later movies are just like.
Yeah.
Everyone's in business casual, and it's all very warmly lit, and it's just like, what's
too.
The point of that?
Did anyone notice, just real quick, Catherine Hardwicke was, I saw this, she was a production designer on Tank Girl.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Apocalypse
yeah.
Videos.
Like, I think she has some genuinely,
yeah,
like, kind of weirdo
I remember,
sensibilities.
Yeah, Lords of Dogtown was big, and 13 was big movie.
Yeah. 13 is, like, genuinely,
quick,
like, grody, and, like...
You mentioned the lighting. I would say through 90% of this movie, Kristen Stewart and
Robert Pattinson,
they have the skin complexion of Lieutenant Commander Data.
Yes,
like almost exactly,
and that's why they're
oh,
so
man.
Sexy.
The scene where they're in the like hospital, and you see Edward's dad for the first
he
time.
He looks
like,
so
how is
busted.
Everyone not just like, what the hell is wrong with this man?
With
seriously,
the white
I'm
face
like,
paint.
I know it's raining outside and it's always overcast, but come on.
The white face, and then his like weird dyed blonde hair. He looks insane.
It's funny because I remember people thinking the movie looked too like blue and stuff, but now I'm looking at it, I'm like, it looks incredible compared
yeah.
to like, especially the sequels of this, I think.
Yeah, the sequels
looks,
look like mush compared
like,
to this
movie. It looks like a real
movie.
Like, there's like a, you know, there's a someone made a choice and it looks cool, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Did I read this right? Did Carter Burwell do the score for this movie?
I don't know.
Credits.
Who is you say that like we should know?
I don't know
who
whether that is. Yeah,
well,
Carter
if I'm not mistaken,
Burwell.
I think
is.
Carter Burwell. Hold on,
Carter Burwell.
He
or
did.
Maybe I'm mixing him up with someone else.
He did do the soundtrack.
He did the da-da-da-da-da.
Burwell is a Coen Brothers guy.
Oh. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, he worked on Lewin. Or no, he did not work on
I mean, no one talks about the score for this movie. It's all the original soundtrack with like Muse and Radiohead and stuff.
The Radiohead over the credits is so out of place.
Oh,
like,
my
that
God.
Is not.
I kind
of
love it, though.
When that happened, I just started laughing.
Because that's not the vibe of even 1 minute of this movie.
Yes, okay, so real quick, he did like all the Coen Brothers movies up through like Fargo, Big Lebowski, mm-hmm. Being John Malkovich, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
The actual original score, I don't know if you can share this, Dave, or whatever, but it was kind of, I thought the original score parts of it were kind of like wild. There's lots of like wailing guitar specifically, which I thought was like pretty funny.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, what scene was it? I have it written down in my notes. I'm like, what is going on with this guitar?
I think it's when the evil vampires show up and it's like, wow.
It's like multiple guitar tracks. There's like five guitar tracks just like wailing at the same time together.
I'll play it right now. It's the biggest moment of the movie. It's when Edward and Bella meet and the fan is blowing her hair, and he catches a whiff of her scent, and this sleazy guitar music.
It's because he's just thinking about how much he wants to kill and fuck her.
How much he fucking stinks.
His face is both I'm gonna throw up and I'm jizzing in my pants.
He looks as if he's got a whiff of a noxious fart,
and it's like making him horny.
So okay. Can we like answer this for me?
Yes, I know everything about Twilight. Ask anything.
Is Bella supposed to be like? Does she have special smelly blood?
Yes.
Like, what's going on? Yeah.
She has super delicious, extra special girl blood.
because she's extra special.
She's extra special. That's why everyone loves her, even though she's so just plain.
And
I mean,
can't read her mind.
Do they ever get into that? Like, what makes it special?
I don't know if they get into what makes her blood
so
special.
One.
Well, she's the chosen one, yeah. They get into eventually why he can't read her mind, and it's because she has super special heart shield powers. So when she eventually, spoiler, becomes a vampire in Breaking Dawn.
She becomes a vampire?
Yeah, after they get married, and they have post-marital sex.
The ill ending of this movie is like, come on,
Renesmee, don't you know anything?
Come on,
what's
they have a hybrid baby named Renesmee who Jacob the werewolf imprints on, and then she grows super fast. So he will be able to fuck her when she's technically 8 years old.
Yeah, that's the one thing I know about this movie is that Jacob falls in love with
the baby, and it's also implied that's why Jacob is kind of in love with Bella, because he's imprinting on the unfertilized egg in her body.
Oh, I hate this.
Oh, yeah.
I thought because he's a wolf, he was catching her scent.
That
like her
too,
because
she smells so delicious and farty, but then she eventually becomes a vampire, and she gives birth to their hideous spawn. And then he imprints on the baby. She dies in childbirth, technically. So Edward makes her a vampire.
Oh,
and then she has
at the
end of the book, it's revealed that she, her super special heart powers are technically like a shield of love. So she can protect.
And she, remember, she's so good at being a
vampire. Yes, that too.
Better than anybody else that ever became.
There's never been anyone as special as her.
Basically, are you saying that basically Bella becomes like Kirsten Dunst? Like Edward goes, yeah, she's actually a very vicious predator. Like she becomes.
I mean,
like,
I
imagine her like love
Claudia
killing
you. In the interview
with
the vampire.
I fucking wish. But then at the very end of.
I want more!
Oh, Bella, still whining.
But at the very end of Breaking Dawn, after they've defeated the evil vampires, there's a moment where Bella has learned to lower her shield so that Edward can read her thoughts. And like a good wife should submit to her
husband. Let your husband read your thoughts.
You're a Mormon husband. And then it's like the end, and they lived happily ever after for forever and forever, and they get their own personal planet on Xenon or something.
And then she has to wear the special underwear.
And she wears her special underwear. But the haunting after the fact thing is like, You think he's gonna give a shit about her once he can read her thoughts? You think he is gonna fucking care?
There's actually nothing in there, is there, Bella?
Because that's part of the thing in the books is like, and there was a, I think they did eventually publish it, Midnight Sun, which is Twilight from the perspective of Edward.
Wait, is this canon? Like, is this Stephanie Meyer?
Yeah, she wrote it. Yeah. And he's like, he's disgusted with all the women and girls
around
him.
Does he talk about why he loves going to high school so much in that book?
Yeah, because he's a fucking pedophile. No, I don't
think that is the weirdest thing. Like,
yeah, it is the weirdest thing.
Even like, in this movie.
Even like pedophilia aside, like, which is a big aside, but like, why does he want to go to high school?
Because
like,
he's a fucking loser.
Why does he want to be in like geometry class?
Like, Claire's trying to say what happened.
Far be it from me to defend this movie or this story at all, but he says literally in this movie, the younger we start, the longer we can stay in a place. They have to start in high school so they can stay longer. They don't have to move around as much.
Because they all have to be together because they're a Mormon family.
Yeah,
we're all fucking
each
other.
They're vegetarians, Mike. Come
on. Here's the weird thing about this. I don't see the need for the... It seems at odds. It seems contradictory. Like, we gotta... They live in seclusion off into the forest in their hyper-rich compound.
Yeah. Like, why do you want to interact with any humans anyway?
Why integrate with anyone at all? You could just live out there and feed on the animals that are around surrounding your house. I don't understand the need to integrate in society at all.
Because he likes music. He likes
Debussy.
CDs.
Amazon, man, it's 2008.
He likes music.
He lives down the street from the warehouse.
He wants connection, bro. Man, he doesn't have a partner like the rest of the.
I know he's the.
But he doesn't connect with anyone because he keeps smelling everyone's farts.
He's trying to connect. He realizes like, I'm sorry, I was gone for so long. I was smelling your farts, and I'm trying to work on that with the therapy.
It was a partly sunny day. I had to stay indoors.
It's because. He can read people's thoughts because of his special vampire mind
because
reading
it's so
powers.
Fun, Jan. Get it?
And he hates all these women and girls around him because they're all just thinking about how horny they are for him. So
also,
if he could have read Bella's thoughts, he would have hated her too.
And also, we're only three caps short in our cap and gown display.
It is. It's 100%. I think it's just something you have to like. Roll with.
Yeah, like, because again, it's the fantasy of what if I, this super normal but also really special girl who goes to high school, what everyone was in love with me, and there's this special vampire who is in love with me too.
I gotta say it. I know we gave a lot of shit to Louis, Brad Pitt's character in Interview with a Vampire, but I think that guy had it figured out. You just watch movies.
Movies.
Will he discover movies? Like, he's got CDs. Where are the movies?
Also, the implication of, we have to move around and, the younger we start, the longer we can stay there. And it's like, hello, I am a ninth grade student. My name is Edward Cullen. We're like, get the fuck out of here.
You are 7 feet tall.
He does look so tall.
Listen, it doesn't make sense.
I am 14 years old.
They do look crazy. It's almost I think the movie, in a way, it almost doesn't lean enough into its sort of campiness a little bit. Like, it's sort of like it toes this line that's. Mm-hmm. I almost wish it went like that extra little step, and I think it'd be like so good. That's the thing. I think it's almost like a little pulls back.
Well,
almost
it boosts it up. Well, it gets into comic booky territory as soon as he, uses his super strength to deflect a car. That could crush Bella.
Yeah.
Then it gets a little silly. You get this crazy scene where it's like, all right, fine. I'll come and meet your family. They're cooking dinner for her. Oh, I already ate. Oh, well, fuck.
Yeah. That's my favorite part. That's my favorite part.
Bella, we're making Italiano for you.
Oh.
Bella, this is Esme, my mother, for all intents and purposes.
Buongiorno.
Molto bene.
Giving us an excuse to use the kitchen for the first time.
I hope you're hungry.
Yeah, absolutely.
She already ate.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's just because I know that you guys don't eat, so
of course. It's very considerate of you.
Just ignore Rosalie, I do.
I love Rosalie so much smashing a salad because
she seems like she knows exactly how to like work that comedy of that.
And she's again, if I can just go off on, you know, about the books.
I went into town. I bought
this Caesar salad mix.
Yes, I bought the croutons for you, Bella.
Rosalie in the books is Edward's like, oh, she's a fucking bitch. I hate her. She's a shrew. And it's her special vampire power is being extra, extra beautiful. And she doesn't like being a vampire because she was turned like pretty much against her will after her fiance like beat and gang raped her. And so she doesn't really like being a vampire. And she also doesn't like being a vampire because she can't have babies. And isn't that the worst fate of all for a woman?
Oh, Jesus.
but yeah, Rosalie for a long time like doesn't like Bella, which like, yeah, I get it, girl. And because she's not really team Bella, Edward hates her too. And the movie is so funny when they have her put on Bella's scent to go like mislead the vampires, and Carlisle's like, she's part of the family. It's like, that's your sister wife now. You're gonna also have to fuck Bella.
It's like this is Edward's high school girlfriend for 2 months. She's part of the family
She's
now.
Part of the family.
She moved here in
you just touched on something. How much time passes? How
long I think is it is 2 months. I was thinking about it because she moves in March.
In March.
And it kind of culminates in prom, which is typically in May.
2 months.
Wow.
2 Earth months.
Because I had this thought at the end of the movie when it's prom night, the movie's ending, and she's like,
and Bella's like, kill me.
It's been like 3 months.
I don't even think it's been, I think it's been two.
Maybe 2.5.
Two and a half, maybe.
And she says, kill me, I want to be with you forever.
Which I get it. I guess that makes sense for like a high school romance, you know what I mean?
It's weirder though, again, I guess you just got to roll with it, but it's weirder because Edward is 100 and whatever years old.
117.
117. Yeah. So like you wouldn't think that he would like fall in love then like that quickly.
Because she's a chosen one. Because
she's so special.
If you caught a whiff of that fart, you'd understand.
Oh,
okay?
It's the most delicious fart you've ever smelled. It's like heroin.
I think what like a main thing of Twilight that they kind of do, but not very well in the movie. I think it's done better in the book. Is they have a, like, one of the things about vampires is they quote-unquote mate for life. So once you find, like, your soulmate, you are mated for life. And Bella's his soulmate. He just had to wait when he was born in 18.
He does say that in the movie. Like, you don't know how long I've been waiting for you.
Yeah. Because it's meant to be. Because, yeah, we're predestined soulmates who are going to be heterosexually together forever.
This doesn't sound like
imagine,
any.
I got to imagine what's the tale after they're married and happy together. It's like, oh, tell us
they
a story.
They fuck like animals.
Well,
that's in the books. Sorry,
we were in biology class in 11th grade or whatever it was. She walked in front of the fan and I just caught a whiff of her scent and it made me want to vomit.
Oh, that's so cute. When they're extra special hybrid daughter Renesmee is like, wow, a tale as old as time.
We got over
her
our 100
scent
year
was so
age,
bad I had to leave the room.
I
asked the superintendent if I could switch classes to get away with it.
And they said no. Something that I will say also works a lot better in the books is the building of tension and the like. You like Edward will like kiss her neck or like wrist at most, and it works a lot better than kind of just all the staring in the movie, because it's written and because again you are presumably 12 or 13 years old reading this and going like, wow, oh my god, holy moly.
Well, we get a holy moly part in this movie when he's in her room later and they start, things get a little heavy.
Get a little PG-13.
He like kind of pushes her to the bed and they start making out.
Yeah.
And then he has to like,
and she's
force
like not
push
wearing pants.
Back.
I think you're right, Jack, because it's almost like, especially in that chemistry or biology scene, they're not really saying much, and it seems like it's almost that there should be like voiceover that should be happening of her like feelings.
Yeah.
And then when you're reading it, it'd probably just be like, she says two lines. You know, It just feels like awkward because it's like almost like they just copied it without adding like extra lines.
Extra weird because the things that Pattinson is doing literally look as if he's about to retch, like he caught a whiff of a bad fart. We were making this joke throughout the whole episode, but that's what he looks like.
This is so farty.
He tells a story, I think it's on like Howard Stern, of how he was kind of going like, he's like, this guy's a freak. And that's how he was like gonna read it, kind of thing. He's like, and so he kind of
good old Pattinson.
I saw that too, and I feel like this might be some revisionist history.
I think so too, but like I think he was. I think you're right, but like he, from what the people have said, is like he was almost like going at it like a Nick Cage performance or something, you know.
And I mean, I believe it. I think people said
that you got to tone it down or you're gonna get fired, basically.
Yeah. I remember at the time reading of like someone was talking about like his vision for the character was like, oh, like basically like manic depressive, which he kind of is. But he like lost a bunch of weight and is like, his eyes were looking like really gaunt. And then, yeah, someone stepped in and was like, no, okay, not this.
You're supposed to be just sexy boy.
Saw that like during the audition, the director originally said no to him in part because when he showed up, she was describing.
He looked like shit.
Yeah, basically just said he was like scraggly. He was chubby, which I don't know the veracity of this, but chubby because he was, quote, drinking beer all day, every day. And so he was cast like partly on the condition that he lose weight.
That is so. I mean, yeah. You can't make me hate Robert Pattinson. I love that weird guy.
I vaguely remember this time when these movies were coming out, and you'd always see like these press line interviews and stuff. And his whole attitude about it seemed like, this is just some silly thing. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't have any hate towards it, from what I can gather. He just sort of was like, these are just kind of goofy movies.
I think he and Kristen Stewart too probably grew to hate a lot of the fandom and anti-fandom because it was
well the fandom
so
but the
vicious.
Movies themselves it came like the vibe was sort of like you know
but, they both seem like they did I don't know them but it seems like they did well like they've had like maybe Pattinson more than Kristen
well or, I mean
she's killing it I think too
she you know? Yeah I mean that's the thing I love that she's now at a place where like she's been able to get weird with some stuff and choose like interesting roles because the like Kristen Stewart hate at the time was like so much and it's like okay she's kind of like she's kind of weird in this movie like that's not a crime like she's
I mean I'll say
you can like, dislike I, a performance and
I like
not,
both of them as actors I think like she's also like 17 in this she's like a child but I think their performance is like I think it's fair to say it's like disastrous
I think
like so bad it's good.
I think she's great. I think she's like.
I think she's making choices.
No, I think she's the most. This is the problem: is that she's in this naturalistic thing, and everyone else is like. In
she
like
is not doing naturalistic, Ryan. That it's is like there. Real. There is no world, and that you know what this is.
No,
you know what her performance is. This performance, both of them actually, but like especially her, and this movie in general. I was trying to think of like what does this remind me of, and it's Star Wars Episode II: Attack of the Clones. That is like that is how both of them are playing this.
I imagine Alain Bella just like, so you're saying love has blinded you?
No, it's
no,
like a,
Bella. It's because I'm so in love with you.
No, Bella is Sands. Anakin. Bella's Anakin.
Yeah, Bella's Anakin. Yeah, no, it's like, you know, swap the I hate the rain, it gets everything wet for like, I hate the sand.
It's cold. That's the dialogue. It's not her like acting.
Play the clip.
Thanks. You know, your mood swings are kind of giving me a whiplash.
I think it's fair to critique one's acting, but it really, I mean, the misogyny at the time and the, like, just... A lot of people hated her way too much.
Yeah.
And it's like, fucking calm down.
Well, and I don't know. I wasn't on set, right? I don't know how much of, when I say her performance is disastrous, I don't know how much of that's her fault. Like, well, and she clearly did good act. Yeah, she is good actor.
She's been acting, like, she's since done she was great a kid. Stuff.
But I do think that, like,
she was in, like, Fincher movies, and she's in Into the Wild or whatever.
The movie adaptation of Speak, which is a really harrowing tale about, like, a high school girl who's, like, been raped and, like, won't speak, and, like, she's really good in that.
I think she's doing her thing, and no one could do what she's doing. I think
it's the script. I honestly think it's the script.
I don't think anybody can do what she's... Sorry, Kara, but yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, that's okay. I agree that I don't enjoy watching this on the screen.
Look, I didn't take any pleasure in this podcast, okay?
I mean her performance, but I think it is exactly what was asked of her,
yeah,
and I think it is exactly the character that was written. And I think it's really bad direction and really bad writing. And I think that she has nailed what was asked of her. But I think what was asked of her was just not
good. What was asked of her was something insane.
Cut, Kristen, you got to be stuttering more, okay? You got to be stuttering
more.
Can you
put some more stutter on that?
All times. I don't want to see that mouth
I don't think people could do that. People would play this so much worse, I think. I guarantee. I think so. It's almost like she's playing it like, someone like as if she's dreaming or she's thinking these things out loud. Like she's almost like Kevin Arnold in like without the narration. You know?
I've never given much thought to how I would die, but dying in place of someone I love seems like
dying
a good way to go.
In place of someone I love seems like a good way
That's
to
great,
go.
That's great, Jackie. You're killing it. Wow.
I almost wish there was more narration throughout.
Should have gotten more voiceover. Yeah.
I guarantee. I don't know who could do it better. How would it be acted? There's like no way. She's the one.
What is happening in her dialogue is like every line is like there's like sighs and like stutters, like it's
and like well, swallowing, and I get yeah. She is making choices. I can't fault her for that.
They're like, be more nervous, be more anxious.
They're just holding a gun at her.
What's the opposite of faster, more intense?
Slower, less unsure.
Slower, less sure.
Less sure. And then the reason that I think it's direction and writing is because I think that Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson are both very good, and they have some very strange. Robert Pattinson has like three like scenes in this where I'm just like, now that's a fucking actor. The rest of this, where he's like. Where he's smiling and like happy, I think those moments are like really good.
Like coming,
I'm just like
walking in with the sunglasses into the school.
Yes!
Yeah, when they walk in, like they just like, when he, like got laid.
Yeah.
When he hops on her car and fixes her dent and then just leaves, I'm like, why were you even here for that 2 seconds?
Just to be
but
silly.
He's, like, happy.
Can we talk about
he's,
the
like,
best scene in the movie?
Baseball.
The baseball scene.
Yeah.
to Muse's supermassive black hole.
And he's like happy and like having like emotions that aren't like angst and like greedy.
Yeah.
I'm like,
he loves baseball.
You're out.
You're out.
Okay,
and then Rosalie's
now,
like, I'll kill you.
Why they have to play baseball out in the thunderstorm?
Because they are so loud and stone-like that when they slam their vampire bodies together, it's like thunder. And when they
do, they like time the baseball. Do they throw the pitch when a lightning strikes? Like,
it's
do they
implied,
have to,
yeah.
Otherwise, isn't everyone just like, why is there so much
thunder?
But there's been like one lightning bolt.
Yeah, that's why Alice is the pitcher when she does her little leg up in the air.
I love this movie.
Tiny
baseball, like
yes, they have outfits.
Old-timey baseball outfits.
I love that they love it so much. Like, you can tell they, like, live for it. This is probably their favorite thing to do.
Yes, play vampire baseball.
Like, you get the set. The movie, like, posits that this isn't just a thing with this family. This is a vampire thing.
Because the evil vampires show up and they're like, got room for three more?
Like, I was really
hoping.
There's
a moment before they go out where Bella's like, what, really? You like baseball? And he's like, well, it's America's pastime.
It's vampires' pastime.
One of the things I know about Twilight is it's like werewolves v. vampires, like Underworld. And I was really hoping that we were going to get a werewolf vampire baseball
game. The werewolf stuff doesn't come in until book two, and it's all really just too racist enjoy.
I think one of the worst things about this movie is the, like, that nothing happens, and that was something that I was like kind of annoyed. I was bummed out. Like, I wanted some vampire v werewolf stuff, and we really don't even get werewolf stuff.
No, it's just the implication of werewolves and dropping some hints.
But
towards...
this movie, it really feels like it's crazy because it's the whole book. I as far as I understand, but it feels like they did like the Dune thing where it's like this is part one of a book or something. Like just the way it's paced.
It is a full book.
Yeah, I was surprised. Like the end of this movie, because the ending of the movie, like the climax, is when Edward kills, or he doesn't kill, but he incapacitates the tracker guy, which we haven't gotten into there. The plot of this movie. We should get into this.
Oh, yeah. We're about an hour in. We should maybe mention like what happened.
So there's this really special girl.
A Phoenix, Arizona native.
Phoenix mentioned.
She's moving to Forks, Washington because her mom has this new husband?
Husband, yeah. I guess. Maybe.
A new husband who's also a baseball player. It's spring training. And it's just like, you know what, Bella, why don't you go somewhere else so we can get it
on? Can
you
leave?
Dave, if you're going to do the plot, you got to do it correctly.
Okay, Kara, you do.
Don't besmirch the fucking, come on. There's
like, why don't you move to another state so we can get it on for this season, all right?
He moves around a lot.
It's the books also do get into how her mother, Renee, is kind of a fucking flake and...
She's clumsy.
She's so clumsy.
Kara, before you take us to Forks, Washington and regale us with the plot synopsis, I just want to point one thing out as a Phoenix native. I'm like watching this beginning where they're in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm thinking like, all right, are they actually, because it looks as if they put prop cactuses strategically in the background.
They're just like in LA then.
They show you like one desert mountain as they're like flying away.
Yes.
Yeah, we get some like stock footage of Sky Harbor.
Yeah.
Slap this
anyway,
on.
Okay. We, Kara, we all got our plane tickets. We're going to Forks
with our little cactus.
We got our cactuses.
She has her cactus reminder of home, which is gonna do poorly because there's no sunlight.
Yeah, you gotta get a little glow lamp, a little lamp for that.
We're gonna
for that
do
cactus.
Well, that's what the dad says. He's like, "There's a nice work lamp there. You can use that for your cacti."
For your cacti.
I think it is her stepdad, but he's a minor league baseball player, and so he travels a lot. Her mom does not travel with him. She stays home with Bella, but Bella says, "I can tell that she makes her kind of sad."
Well, that's why she left her dad, basically, you know?
Mm. Yes. So I'm going to move to Forks. So
the mom is a real
but temporarily, right? If this is temporarily?
They never.
The mom in this movie doesn't seem like a good mom.
No. Not really.
No, she likes to talk to her, though.
She's really like in the wind more than I think you want a parent to be.
She watched a lot of Gilmore Girls and is like, that can be us, Bella. And Bella's just like, no, I'm good.
So is this a permanent move?
I don't know if it's permanent. I mean, I think she's a junior, so it's like just senior year. So maybe they were like,
he just says for a while, kind of like
for a while. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I got the feeling like that's just the mom is going to be like a rambling man, and so it's like let's put you somewhere so you can just be somewhere you're going to school.
Yeah, and
like a stable home.
Just stay with your dad, finish up high school, and then live your life. Like,
okay. Well, and then what happens, Kara?
But it's Bella's idea to go live with her dad because she, you know, she's like, oh, my mom would be happier on the move. So she's like, I'll go stay with dad. So she moves to Forks and it's rainy and she doesn't like anything wet or cold. So she's unhappy there until she sees Edward and she's like, oh, ho, ho. But he's like, oh, I fucking hate her.
You smell like farts.
And so she thinks the whole time that he just like hates her for no reason.
He was
so
gone for like four days.
And you have to mention everybody loved her in the high school.
Everyone else loves her. The books at
everyone
least
else
is
loves
like
the smell of my farts.
The books that are like a mean girl or two or something that are like ooh, Bella.
It does feel like it needs to be the one bad. Like
the movie is just like everyone wants to fuck her. Just every single person here.
I, the, I, you you get
there
the vibe
is no
in this.
Conflict with any of the other students.
Well, no, you get the vibe. I got the vibe that, like, the reason Bella is so into Edward is he's the only one who's, like, not immediately trying to, like, get in her pants, you know?
Did you get the sense that, and I'm sorry to interrupt the synopsis, but I was getting the sense, like, it was a real, like, I can change him vibe. You know what
well,
I mean? Like,
that was 100%. 100%. Well. It's very coded of that. That's the idea.
I think it's...
And so the lion fell in love with the lamb.
To me, it seems more like a, oh my God, he hates me for no reason. Mm. And then he's like, I guess I will talk to you now. And he's like, oh my God, she's talking to me. He's talking to me. Oh my God. But he hated me like 1 minute ago. Oh, now he loves me.
Oh, but right? Now he hates me again and he's leaving. Oh, now he's back and he loves me.
Yeah. And so they have this contentious back and forth, but then he's like, I can't stay away from you.
I'm not strong enough.
I'm not strong enough.
And she's like, and yeah, like, kill me.
She's like, then don't. Hooray.
Oh my God, tear my limbs apart.
Oh my God.
Well, a very good part was that I've killed people. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I knew that blew me away.
She's like, I don't care.
Yeah, and there's like no question of, no follow-up question.
Like how many
long
people?
Ago?
When?
When?
Yeah,
who?
Like,
was
yeah,
it,
like,
a, was it the last 17-year-old girl you were with?
She's just like, I don't care, dick me down.
Dude, I imagine if she pressed him even a little bit, she probably would have gotten to a point where he's saying like, oh, and I can tell you that babies taste the best, you know, something like that.
God, something I wish.
Is that a line from something?
That's from Snowpiercer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, babies right, do taste okay. the best.
And then, so she's kind of making these friends, which I think it's a detriment to the movie that they don't. Like they kind of do it like at the end where she's like looking at them and being sad, but I do think that they actually form like genuine friendships.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's done as well in the movie. Mm. Because I do think they care about Bella and they're like, oh, we are friends.
There's something I think I agree. And cause it is nice. I think that they are nice.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy that they are like that, but it's like, that is a nice part of it, I think. And you kind of wish there's a little bit more of that. And it's weird because you want more of that, but then also all the stuff with like the other vampires that show up feels weird and rushed and crazy and stuff
yeah.
too. So it's like almost yeah. like there's something needs to go. I don't know what it
Not
is. Like, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what you mean.
You mean
this
the
is
evil
a,
black vampire?
This is a perfect, hey, he actually ends up being the one good
nice.
Evil vampire, but he is the only black vampire we see until
that's,
several
Mr.
movies later.
What was his name? Mr. Fantastic and Superman?
Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific, yeah.
Terrific.
Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, he's been around, but, I mean, we can also get into just the super racism of the books and Stephenie Meyer and how she treats
she's in the movie
and she is she's got her little cameo at the diner.
What does she play?
She's some lady at the diner.
She's writing her next like masterpiece at the diner
yeah.
counter.
Oh.
But that yeah the she just made up wholesale a bunch of like indigenous myths for her books from
well,
but like with a real tribe name and they get to. They see nothing of any of the crazy profits that the books and movies made.
Well, there's that really great moment where Bella, she Googles for books,
oh!
and then she goes and she
oh
buys the book,
God.
And then she goes home, reads the book,
yes.
and then Googles again. The,
yes.
The
she reads
yeah.
one thing out of the book and then does a
cold one.
That was that scene when she's Googling.
It.
The way that it's done, the mouse, it moves so slowly, the cursor. Like, it looks as if like this type of scene had never been done in a movie before. Because how slowly the mouse cursor is going from one click to one link.
Yeah, it's 2008.
Link.
The internet's brand new.
She's just doing what Edward told her to do.
Googling it.
It's adrenaline.
But
you
well,
can
I
Google
it.
Google it.
So there's sort of like that kind of
Ask
yeah,
Jeeves it.
Ask G Alta Vista it.
Ask Jeeves, Bella.
It kind of stinks because there's two different things I want to see here. Because in a way, there's like sort of like this little noir happening with like these killings happening with her badass dad, who we haven't talked about, Charlie.
Charlie Swan.
He's chugging beers and clean.
So tossed off and messy.
He's so hot. Sorry.
And
what?
The thing is,
he's also like probably 7 years older
yeah,
than Bella.
Basically.
Wait, his dad?
Yeah.
I mean,
seven years?
He's got to be like 35, I'm guessing.
Get out of here. That guy, no way.
He's ageless. He's the real
yeah.
vampire.
And then the actor that plays his, I guess it's Jacob's dad is a good actor. He's been in like a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah, I think he passed away recently.
I thought so. He too. Was, I think it's a different actor. That
the actor, by the way, was the dad was 42.
Okay, well,
the movie.
That's dad age.
Yeah, that's dad age.
You know.
It seems like they kind of had their kids young, maybe. That's kind of the vibe that they both have, you know.
Like good Mormons. I mean, what?
Yeah, if she's 17 and he's 42, then she would have been born when he was 25.
Yeah, and so that's what this seems like. Like the mom wasn't ready to be strapped, you know, tied down.
And he kind of never really learned how to be a dad because they got divorced like pretty early, it seemed like.
It doesn't really make sense because she's like, I don't want, you know, if she's like, I need to wander, I want to, you know, be a nomad and travel the world, etc. So I'm going to leave Forks, but also take this daughter and move to Phoenix and live there and not go anywhere else.
I was like, that's not a great place. Yeah, they didn't have it figured out yet.
She just needed to move somewhere where she could wear a bunch of turquoise jewelry, okay?
Hey, though, that's life.
Flipped a coin for who would have custody.
that's life, though. I mean, sometimes you leave your small town with grand designs of wandering, and you end up in Phoenix
Arizona.
For the next 20 years.
there's some stuff there, I think. But, yeah, it's just... anyway, go ahead.
So they go to Port Angeles, which is like the big town.
To shop for prom dresses. Except for Bella, who wants to read books.
Prom's not her thing.
She's not like other girls.
She wants to get this book so she can discover what Edward is, because she knows he's something. And she takes 1,000 hours, and things gets lost, and it's nighttime by the time she's walking
and
home.
And then a group of rapists show up.
A group of people start harassing her. Edward pulls up, saves her, stares down, and
he screeches in like in his Prius.
In his Volvo.
That car
famously
is so
a
funny.
Volvo.
And he beast growls them down, and they run away. They're scared.
And then he's
the driving of that car, like, has so much personality. I really like it. It does, like, I genuinely, it feels like anime-ish to me, the way that car is, like, jumping around and stuff.
And then they're, like, speeding down the streets of Port Angeles at, like, 35 miles an hour.
They're, like, reaching, screeching down this main drive, but they're clearly just going, like, 40 and a 25.
He's actually going under the speed
limit. And he's like, I'm so mad. The things that those beasts were thinking. Oh, my God.
And so then they have dinner, and then...
She refrains.
I had forgotten, too, about the sequence of events where he, like, reveals that it can read minds, but then doesn't reveal the vampire stuff for, like, another scene. And it was like... And this was in the books, too, of, like, okay, so she's like, yeah, he reads minds. But then she's like, wait, I know what you are.
And then she says,
I know what you are. Say it out loud.
And then she's like, vampire. And then they're like, and he's like, I killed people. And she's like, I love you.
And she's like, and he's like, no, you need to see me in the sunlight. Look at the skin of a killer.
And he literally just glistens
with like wind chime noises.
Yeah,
I think it does speak to his like, because he just. Giving, you know, credit to this book, he just has like this deep, deep, deep self-loathing. So anything about him is horrible. But I was just like, what the hell made you think that would be the turnoff? You told her you killed people.
And you're like, no, look at my sparkly
but
skin.
I sparkle. Oh, well, then never mind.
And this was, no, I mean, a big point of mockery at the time, as it should be, because it's very silly. But it's... It really is like I remember as a, you know, middle schooler reading these books, and I was telling my older brother about them, and I got to the, I was like, yeah, and but so they in the sunlight they sparkle, and it was, he was humoring me up until that point, and then that was where he was like, and I was like, no, it's like, it's cool. Like,
it's a really stark contrast between Sparkling Vampire and Interview with a Vampire, where you literally explode into flames and turn to ash.
What's so funny about that scene, aside from like what's going on, is that he's objectively, he looks like he's come out of the Lisa Frank catalog or something. And he's like, look at me, look upon me.
Look at me.
But he's like, this, like, oh. You look cute. You look like a little sparkly guy.
It's very, again, it feels like it feels like this is fan fiction where she's going to say, like, no, your one angel wing is what makes you beautiful, Sephiroth.
Well, it's funny because I think that you're onto something with that, because it's very much of the time. It's like the start. Basically, this is like the prime internet time, you know, and I think it's probably, it was in people's minds. I mean, I haven't read much old, you know, romantic like stuff, but isn't that how those are written anyway?
I mean, basically? Very much so, like it's, of course, it's purple prose. It's like me, the main character, the most special girl. Like none of this was, you know, inventing any of those.
I also think it's very Harry Potter, where it's like whisked into a sort of like universe going on.
And also, like, it takes place in the era where you existed. And I think that's kind of like the vibe. Mm. Like, it's not like taking place in the 1800s with Tom Cruise and stuff like that.
Whatever. Yeah, like it may have, maybe like would feel less silly if it was like, and then I go to my boarding school in, you know, the Victorian time. But like, no, it's 2005 or whatever in the books, and it's silly. And
the kids have Nintendo. Yes,
you know,
they're going to high school in Portland, Oregon, Washington.
Portland, Oregon, Washington. Yes, and again, like, not to say that there's not things to critique or clown on in these books or movies, but people were way too mean about them, and especially because it was girls who liked them. And so I do have, like, kind of I feel very protective of, well, as Edward would say, of some of this stuff, even though I think it's very silly and pretty dumb.
You mentioned people are unfair to this movie. So, Kara, there's another story going on. Amidst the love affair between Edward and Bella, there's something else going on in Port Angeles.
The vampire killings?
Yeah.
The animal.
Oh, the animal.
They're animals. It's animal killings. And I think we see two people get killed by animals.
Well, I would say my background here, this is the Blue Heron paper mill in Oregon City. This is where the first one takes place.
Wow.
I would walk by this every day on my way to work, basically.
It looks real dingy.
Isn't there like a plaque there?
There's a plaque there now. Says this is where they filmed Twilight, and who's the director of Exorcist, Mike? Or
Friedkin.
William Friedkin.
The one with Tommy Lee Jones, he did. The Hunted. That was it.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a plaque that has both those movies on it next to basically cool. where I'm standing right now.
That's where it was.
That's where it
Ryan
was.
Ryan is using a holo generator right now in the club to have his background look like like the factory.
An old paper mill.
it's old dingy paper mill that's been out of commission for a long time, basically.
This movie was like, I saw, like, I was looking at where it was filmed. It was, according to the internet, it was mostly filmed in and around Portland, which I would have guessed, like, this was Vancouver or something.
Well, that's
like
all the
Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Well, because every movie of that time shot in Vancouver.
Yeah, wow. I mean, they probably like realized, like, oh, we gotta save some money.
Because
it doesn't look, I think, I mean, other than like goofy effects and stuff, I think the movie is pretty beautiful looking. Like, the backgrounds and everything is great.
It has a vibe.
Well, you guys mentioned that. Yeah. Well, so Ryan, you were said like you wish the movie had leaned into the more silly stuff.
Well, I don't know.
I think
it's almost like everything. It's almost like there's like every. It's either like the kids stuff the teen stuff I want to get into more, the noir mystery it feels like it needs to get into more, the silliness.
Well, it's two pieces. It's, like, the first half of this movie really focuses on the teen angsty romance stuff. The second half leans more into like the kind of scary shit with the vampire, the group of three vampires like killing people, and we get the baseball game in the second half. And then this whole thing, the movie becomes like, it's a chase.
You're validating my argument that this is like the same movie as Attack of the Clones, because I feel like that's the same thing with Attack of the Clones
it's
too.
A
it's like
structure.
I want more of the Obi-Wan noir like mystery stuff on Kino or whatever that's going on there, or like I want more of the silly like
I want Charlie Swan to discover the clone factory and
but
make
yeah
the deals.
It just kind of ends up being like everything circles around this romance that does feel very like forced.
Well, that's what the movie is, though. Like, that is the purpose of the movie.
Yeah, but I there's something like, I don't know if it's the pacing or just what's going on in the movie. I think it's what's going on. Like, that the structure of this movie, it just doesn't feel like a satisfying... At the end of the day, the biggest problem is it doesn't feel like a satisfying story. Like, I don't... I've laughed like when it was one. This was one of those movies where it cuts to credits, and of course, like that song too. It's like the fact it was that song, and the fact that it cut to credits. I was not expecting that at all.
I didn't either when I first saw it.
I was just like, oh my god! Like, sure, we're done. Of course,
this movie does commit that sin of really leaning into sequel bait at the end of the movie with Jacob.
It's not even sequel bait. It's just like the middle of a scene.
Well, but that's how the book ends. And of course, when they were making this movie, they knew they were going to get the sequels because the books were so insanely popular.
Like the fourth one had just come out in this one.
Yeah.
I had mentioned this earlier in the episode, like after the whole thing with the vampire killers culminates, like, so basically it becomes a thing after this baseball game that these vampire killers catch a whiff of Bella's super awesome scent. They want to kill her. Well, one in particular, the one they refer to as the Tracker. And they end up taking Bella to Phoenix to get away from this Tracker. He finds her. The climax happens in this ballet studio that Bella went to. They basically, you know, incapacitate the guy. He's dealt with. They have like this big bonfire scene.
They twist all of his limbs off and set him on fire.
They kill him basically. And then and at this point, I hit the time on the Blu-ray player. I'm like, how much time is left? It's 20 minutes. And I'm like, how is there 20? This is the end of the movie. This is like the climax. And the last 20 minutes of this movie is essentially just like, hey, there's going to be werewolves next time. We may or may not turn Bella into a vampire next time. I'm just like, this is kind of wild.
Jacob may or may not have feelings for her. And what's the wolves descend?
But they don't do that until the end. And I was just sort of like, this is a lot of sequel bait. This is like 15 minutes of sequel bait. Yep. This is kind of wild.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
The movie's over. They killed the bad guy. Well, it's done.
But we also have to show that Bella is the kind of weird girl who wears Converse to prom.
The thing, though, that's tough, Dave, is like it is over, but it also doesn't feel like it's over because, like, James doesn't feel like he feels like a bad guy.
He doesn't feel like the big bad.
Right. He doesn't feel like the villain of the movie. He just feels like he was like a lackey. He's like a mini boss to get to the real villain.
Which you don't get to, it feels like.
I think they didn't do a very good job in the movie making him as, like, because he's in it for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, are you talking about James?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, James.
The tracker.
Yeah. Because he's in it for like 3 minutes and they're like so scared of him. And you're like, why? He didn't even do anything.
Well, and this, I think this gets into what you were saying, Mike. They don't really amp up that side of the story enough in the first half to pay it off.
I think part of it too is he comes in so late. Like if you saw him like really early on, maybe that would help.
Yeah, you get the taste, but that it's like it's not enough, you know.
Yeah,
no. Like you don't really see him until the baseball scene, right? I feel like we're like in the back half of the movie at that point.
They also, and I had forgotten that it ends with Victoria watching over that because she becomes an antagonist for like the next two books.
I know, I had to rewind it because I was like, it looks like one of Edward's sisters or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
I was a little confused.
You didn't know you didn't recognize Victoria Sutherland?
But no, and I'm like, oh, that's who that is. I forgot, like, I thought there was this red, because it's dark, you can't really, because
her goes to black and white.
She's the only character development we have of her, is she's the redhead girl. And you can't
she's the
tell
redhead,
she's, redhead, you know?
She's the, they say it for 2 seconds, she's the mate of James, so when he's murdered by the Collins, she then, like, swears revenge on them, and she'll become an antagonist for the next couple books, but then we also get, in book two, the introduction of the secret evil vampire society, including Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen. I assume I need no introduction.
Am I reading this right that the evil, bloodthirsty, bad vampires are all based out of Seattle?
No, they're based out of like
Rome or something.
Yeah, they live in like the Papal City. Like
it's like the Vampire Vatican.
Yeah, basically
they live with the What's his name? I can't remember the actors' names anymore.
Michael Sheen.
No, in Interview with a Vampire.
It's, oh, Antonio, yeah. Antonio Banderas. yeah, there's also vampire. There's like other little vampire clans like around. And they.
Yeah, the Fanning sisters around.
The Fanning. Well, Dakota shows up.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
she
that.
She wears some really strong eyeliner. Love that for her. She's super evil.
Is Scott in this too? Who's out? I don't know. Isn't there like other actors like weird? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing.
I don't think Adam Scott. Oh, Lee Pace shows up Lee in Pace like the last movie.
Okay.
He's in the fourth one. And then, oh God, what the fuck is that? He's in Mr. Robot.
Rami
Malek shows up?
Yeah, Rami
Malek,
yeah.
Wow, this movie's got everybody.
Yeah, no, the later ones really are stacked with.
Yeah.
What about Jeff Bridges, man? Does Jeff show up in any of these
shows? Shows up as Grandpa Swan. No, I wish.
I'm actually the oldest living vampire, man.
What is this Jeff Bridges turned into?
Yeah, this Jeff Bridges like needs his applesauce and to go to sleep.
Was Bryce Dallas Howard too?
Yeah, she gets recast as Victoria.
Oh, that's right, because they recast Victoria. Yep. Yeah. The movies are amazing. The books are amazing.
What happens with Anna Kendrick? Because this is around this period where she starts to blow up. Like, does she get a beefier part in sequels?
I think she shows up like once more and she's like, hi, I'm still a high schooler. Bye.
You know, that classic, like, we got to wrap up these Friends storylines and then get them out of here. I think that, okay, back to the original thing where James wasn't very intimidating. I think what was supposed to happen was like when they were talking about the murders, those were supposed to be like scarier and more like intimidating. And so when you found out, oh, it was them murdering everybody. Oh no, they were murdering people. And that just that
mystery
didn't play
doesn't really.
Or
yeah, and they also again, it's like kind of one line about like he's a tracker. It's a game to him. It's a sick game. It's just
he's like the best tracker I've ever seen.
Like sure, okay.
It's a lot of telling, not showing in this movie, and that's. I think a big...
It's a weakness of...
Do we even get any of the Edward, like, eating animals?
In the beginning, it opens with them hunting...
chasing a deer.
Yeah, but that's like POV, isn't it? Like, you don't really see
it. Yeah, it's his
you
POV.
Get that gnarly... He bites a chunk out of James's neck and spits it out.
Oh, yeah. He does do that.
I was like, ooh, oh.
And then he.
Yeah, but Kara, you got to remember, we're four movies in now. Like,
and that's true.
We're coming off. We started this thing with boobs getting chewed on. Like, you know, we saw the craziest shit up top.
Edward would faint if he saw a boob getting chewed on.
When did we see a boob getting chewed on?
In general.
Yeah, when did we see that?
An interview with the vampire. Yeah. Tom Cruise is biting people's boobs.
Oh yeah, he was biting tits. Yeah,
boobs.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, Eddie.
But as all vampire lore is kind of about incest as well. This movie, Twilight, really hammers home like, we love incest. Of like that their cover story as humans is we're all foster siblings who date each other.
Like, it's weird. Like I love the fact. One of the things that made me laugh the most is that the Cullens all show up together, and they have like this Jeep, and the one guy just like stands.
He's
like,
standing like, up in the Jeep,
like he's riding in on like a chariot. You know,
damn it, he's great.
There's they all have cars. They have like Rosalie has like a shiny red convertible, and Edward's got his Volvo, and then they've got a Jeep because they're all super rich and dating each other. And
yeah, nothing says rich like a tiny Volvo.
I gotta imagine
from Columbo's car.
Like, I gotta imagine that Edward probably got the first car that ran on like coconut oil or something, you know?
Yeah.
I'm something of a crunchy hippie myself.
Yeah, this movie's great. I love it. It's so bad.
I think this is
so bad it's good. That is the
I enjoyed myself. Like there were you know, I was a little shocked when we began the movie and it said 2 hours long. I was like, in my memory, how? I was like, this got to be like an hour 40, right?
I'll say it went by. Like, I was baffled by this movie. I was at times laughing, I think, at the movie, but I was never, well, I was never like that bored. I think there was a moment in the middle there as a I think the stuff with James, some of the, like, there's a killer going on, that noir stuff, I don't think that hits, and I think that is the most boring part of the movie. It could have been better. I'm with you, Ryan. Like, I think there's potential there, but I don't think it goes anywhere, and it did.
Well,
because,
like, Bella doesn't care, and she's our POV character. Yeah.
But anytime, like, Bella and Edward were on screen, I was certainly not bored. Like, you know, he's running around calling her a spider monkey. Like, I was having
he's
fun.
Climbing up trees like a little gremlin.
He calls her a spider monkey, and then later in the movie, Rosalie calls Emmett a monkey.
My monkey man.
Yeah, there's a lot of monkey stuff.
They love monkeys. They love monkeys. Love incest.
It may be a case, and maybe I didn't read the books, but this may be the case of trying to make sure we get everything that's in the books in here, or like people are gonna riot kind of thing. And the thing is like they probably needed to like change something to make it like flow better. I think
that's a question. Like Kara, Jackie, like how faithful is this to the book?
I mean, it is pretty faithful. I think there's a lot lost in translation though, because the book is very like internal to Bella, and that doesn't translate very well to film. The building of tension in the books, I think, is more effective than we see in the movie. But that
also
said,
the book's
like
1,000 pages, right?
No. But, I mean, it's
like a million pages.
It's not hot.
I thought the Twilight first one, like, I don't think it's that long, is it?
No, the first one is not that long. The last one is kind of a doorstopper, and nothing really happens in that book.
It's the classic like series book, where as it gets more popular, the editor is has less control over the author.
But I mean, that all of that said, I do love this movie, which is so very silly and not that good, but I do love it.
Okay, so that's
I recommend.
Ryan, what about you? Would you recommend Twilight?
I mean, I think as a cultural object, and like the launch of two of our probably like most prominent actors, and like it's important movie to watch. I think, and
it's history.
I don't think it quite works. I think that there it's a mess of just trying to fit too many things in, or maybe it just doesn't really quite flow as like a movie. But it is interesting and crazy and weird, and. And this and the last one are the best ones. You can skip the middle chunk.
I think. You can.
But I think this one. I think this could have been. I bet you if Twilight, say, was like, maybe came out around the same time as Interview with a Vampire kind of thing, and it wasn't like the internet popular kind of like huge thing, I bet there could have been a better movie made of this, like a teen drama vampire movie in a way that like works as a movie. I think it could have been. I think it could have been good. I mean, it did well. I'm just saying, like, and people like this, and I think it's become. It's like almost. People like it are more admitting to liking it than they probably did at some point. You know, like the campiness of it, but there's a little bit missing movie wise to it. But I don't know. I think I would
agree with your rationale there. Like, I almost like it's not necessarily a great movie, but I think like this is the type of movie. That would appear on the Criterion Channel, where it's like it's not necessarily a great movie, but it is a touchstone movie.
It's culturally important.
Like, it would be like in the like Kristen Stewart or Robert Pattinson like Spotlight. They would like have this. Yeah.
Like this is
if it wasn't as popular, you know, is that what you mean?
Yeah, this movie like began a trend. You know what I mean? Like, so I'd recommend it in that sense. Like, I know I say this often on the show nowadays, but in an academic sense, I would recommend this movie to see.
Well, we are academics.
Yeah, we're a pretty academic show.
What about you, Kara? Would you recommend Twilight?
I will say, because I had seen all the other movies, for some reason I didn't see this one. I watched, and I was expecting it to be very bad. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, or I was expecting it to be. I did think it was very bad.
You've seen this before, right?
I don't know if... I mean, I don't have my finger on the pulse of the film scene like you guys do. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean that genuinely.
No, you should mean it sarcastically.
Yeah.
We don't.
It doesn't feel to me like a touchstone film. It feels to me like a touchstone book. And people just kind of like mesh those two worlds together because it was like, you know, this like epidemic that plagued the nation. But, so I do think that it has like cultural significance. I agree with Ryan that it could have been, it had like a lot of potential. I don't like the book. I started trying to reread the book like a few years ago, and I had to stop once they were together.
Kara,
like once they started interacting with each other.
Kara, you have the vibes right now of Sarah Connor being interviewed saying like, I know the date it happens.
I don't think it's good. I think people are allowed to like what they like. I'm not gonna like call somebody an idiot or a fool.
Have you remind me, did you say like, is this the first time you've seen this movie?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And
you don't think it's a touchstone? No.
And I think that I saw so much like potential in it, but I think that it was like, they said they filmed it at like 48 days or something. And I'm like, take longer, please.
I did see the script was like rushed because they were trying to get it done before the writer's strike.
I think it's very bad. I think it could be good. Like if you leaned in the Teen Wolf, if you made it like that kind of vibe, I think that it could be very good. Yeah. And I think you could take no judgment to people who like it. I think if you took the bad book and you could make it into something else, and I just don't think that they did that.
I think you really nailed on something, Ryan. Like, this movie could have been good if it had been made pre-internet. Like, I think you nailed on something.
I don't know. I think just because I think it is a case of just we now live in this world of just, like, scrutiny of, like, his eyes are wrong or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, like, and maybe I'm going to be wrong because I didn't read this thing. But I'm just saying, like, I could see that being one of the things, like, it's too campy, or maybe it's too serious. It needs to be this, like, and that's kind of, like, it kind of falls in between zone that where I'm like, it should be either more campy in this teen, you know, thing, like, almost, like, more sincere than it is, if that makes sense. Or it could be, like, more of, like, rough and tumble about, like, I don't know, like, I guess the TV shows probably did better, like, the Vampire Diaries and the other one.
Well,
What's the HBO one? Yeah, like the True
Blood. Oh, True Blood.
Like people still love that. I'm saying
that,
like,
one you could bite boots.
And that's from this, like that was launched from this, right? Like
Those also were a book series that much older than the Twilight books. But it's true of just like with Twilight as a moment, there were a lot of other vampire things coming up. The Vampire Diaries, also based on a book series, but again, the TV show popped off because of the movie. And it's one of the leads is so clearly like, yeah, you know, a Robert Pattinson type.
Speaking book series, like it seems like this Shadow. Would you say it's fair that Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicle books influenced a lot of this stuff?
Yeah, I think those books made a lot of people feel weird.
Because that
and
was early like 70s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like there was one in the 70s, and I think it was revisited like way later, like in the 80s and 90s, is when she wrote more.
But yeah, I think Anne Rice was responsible for making people feel a certain way about vampires.
I mean, I totally think
time.
This is like young adult slash Mormon slash
repressed, very repressed
is that's a good way of putting it,
repressed and self in kind of authorly self-indulgent,
very much so.
Mike, how many what's your letterbox rating for this movie?
My letterbox, it's 3 out of 5. I would recommend this as a so bad it's good. I think that this movie like probably fails at what it's trying to do. I think that it's like it's so it's there's parts of it that are like baffling and just it's so silly that I think it's charming. There's something charming about this movie that I think is it's in there. And I enjoyed watching it. And, you know, maybe if, like, I knew Robert Pattinson or Kristen Stewart like went on to like become drug addicts and like died young or something, it would, I would have a different tone. But knowing that like there's mostly happy endings for people involved, Taylor Lautner aside,
yeah, he's the only one that seems like he's kind of,
but he's barely in this movie, so I don't have to think about that too much.
Yeah,
but so, you know, Anna Kendrick, you know, she went on to do fine. So knowing that, I think helps it a bit for me, just like just have fun with it.
Yeah,
what happened to Ashley Green though? Because I mean, she's the.
I think she just continues to be really hot somewhere.
It's called like Butter.
Butter?
About a butter competition? That's a great movie. Highly recommend that movie.
She's in Butter. Wait,
I phased out for a second there. What with Butter?
The name of the movie I think is called Butter.
Oh,
a comedy about sex, power, and spreading the wealth.
Yeah, Jennifer 2011
Gardner,
movie.
And Butter.
Jackman, Ty Burrell,
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde, Alicia Silverstone.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
okay,
a good movie.
Okay, sure.
She was in Bombshell. That was a movie.
Okay.
There was like silence, like, okay.
I was very disappointed in this movie because I felt like it had so much potential because there were like scenes that I thought were really good and I was like, why did you ruin it? And I'm just like mad at it right now. I might simmer down later and come around.
Ashley Green is in an episode of Hell's Kitchen as herself.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Sure.
She had a career, see?
I'm sure everyone got a nice, pretty penny for these movies, so that's good for them.
Probably not. I'm gonna say they probably didn't.
What about the sequels? Like, I mean,
yeah, I bet by the sequels the leads were getting money, but I bet this first one they probably got like way underpaid.
I think all those other actors are basically just doing cons these days. I think that's what they do. That they don't do it.
Good money if you can get it.
It's the whole cast except for the two that are now Rupert. Basically like Oscar nominees, you know?
Yeah.
In a way. Like,
and then Anna
Kendrick. She's also an Oscar nominee for
Well, she's got that Cups money. So,
she's,
like, yeah,
she's got that Cups money.
She got the Cups money.
What's the Cups money?
It's from Pitch Perfect.
You don't know Cups?
Okay. Where were you?
It was a radio hit,
2011 or whatever.
I don't know Cups. I've never seen
she
a Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, she has a radio. Yeah. Number one.
You've heard it. After the episode, we'll play it for you. You've definitely heard that.
No, don't play that. Don't play that around in this home. This club. Yeah.
All right, so I think we're good to end it with Cups, right?
Stay sexy.
And so ends my tale of the year I was turned into a vampire and then recorded a bunch of vampire-centric podcasts a year later. I now depart into an uncertain dawn. A dawn of...
Can I just tell him? Please?
Yeah, go ahead. This has gone on long enough.
Tell me what?
Yeah, you're not a vampire, Dave.
I'm not a vampire? What do you mean?
This whole thing has just been one long Halloween prank.
Yeah, I bunked you on the head last year and put some fake vampire fangs in your mouth. We wanted to see how long you'd go thinking you were a vampire.
I bet 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah, we thought it was funny for a while, but after the first 4 months, it just kind of got sad.
Let me see if I understand this correctly. You let me go a whole year thinking I was a vampire, drinking the blood of mutated deer rats, and having to apply 2,000 sunscreen to my entire body every day before I went outside? How could you let this go on for so long? Why did you tell me sooner?
Hey, I wanted to tell you, but I got outvoted.
Yeah, I still think the whole thing is hilarious. And by the way, I didn't lose the bet. You guys squealed and broke the rules, so that means I get the money.
All right.
Yeah.
I'd bet you go 2 whole years before you realize you've been had, Dave.
The last year of my life has been a lie. And I take it none of you are actually vampires either?
Of course not, Dave.
See? Just your standard Spirits Halloween vampire fangs.
Okay. Well, I guess I should take these things out now.
probably ingested a whole slew of microplastics, so thanks for that.
Hey, at least you don't have to put on all that sunscreen all over your body now.
Yeah, and you don't have to drink mutated deer rat blood anymore.
Yes, there's that. And you know, it's not all bad. I gained some good vampire friends along the way, and hey, I still have poetry and fanfic slam night at Lestat's Bar and Grill, right?
Yeah!
Excuse me, sir. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
What about them? They're not vampires either.
Yes, but they're performers. Non-vampires are allowed to enter the premises as long as they have a talent badge. And I don't see that you have one around your neck. So you can either help yourself to a nice blood IPA. We have 8 varieties on tap tonight. Or, if you'd like, I'd be more than happy to grant you temporary access by relieving you of the blood in that supple-looking vein on the right side of your neck.
No, I need that. All right, well, let's go, guys. I guess this is just another bar I'm not allowed into.
Well, actually, Dave, we have another set later tonight, so...
Yeah, sorry.
You mean I gotta walk back to the store alone? Through the streets of Bartertown? At night?
Hey, maybe you'll get lucky and get attacked and turn into a real vampire, Dave.
Yeah.
It could happen, buddy.
No. Nothing good ever happens to me. Well, see you later, guys. Have a good set, I guess.
All right, everybody, please welcome to the stage our next performer, Fridge, who will be reading her fanfiction, 28, 29, 30 Days of Night, a Josh Hartnett love story, ha, ha, ha.
And so I set out into the night, ejected from another bar and another fringe friend group. My past life, a series of disappointments and meandering film reviews, could resume its dreary trajectory once again. I have now only memories of that brief time I was among friends who reveled in the scintillating tales of washboard abs and oily sex orgies. Now, replaced with a sad night alone, eating stale Taco Bell and watching reruns of Cheers.